Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Monday, June 28th, 2021, last week of the month. And, of course, coming up on this weekend is Independence Day, emphasis on independence, celebrating when we kicked out the last tax-happy government who would not listen to the people. And so we'll be talking about that a lot during the coming week. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about. Been a kind of a busy news day. And so we're going to do as much news as we can. Then we're going to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. Mike Gravel, former presidential candidate, politician, certainly an anti-war activist, has passed away at the age of 91 years, apparently surrounded by his family. And this is getting depressing because, you know, Mike was on my radio show some years back. And, you know, I'm starting to get this long list of people who've been on the show who aren't with us anymore. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't have a lot of guests on the programs. I'm trying to save lives here. Meanwhile, happy 50th birthday to Elon Musk. So he's out there celebrating, and well, he should. Now, let's get on down to that condo collapse in Florida. The death toll is now up to 9. And it turns out there were a lot of advance warnings about major structural damage to this condo. Apparently, it was in need of some $9 million in repairs that the owners basically ignored and did nothing about. And, you know, they're looking at this situation here. Now, there was one family that collapsed. They were on the 12th floor in the front of the building and survived the plunge there. A lot of people obviously did not. They're still not sure how many people are missing. They don't know who was in there or not. And there's another aspect as well, and that is if anybody was visiting there. And I say that because Claire and I have a close family friend who had a friend in that condo. They were getting ready to visit them, you know, a little ways down the road here. So they kind of dodged a bullet on that. But they're still trying to figure it out. A lot of people wondering why it's taking so long to go through the rubble and find potential survivors. Some of the darker minds are saying, well, if the people are dead, the lawsuits will be limited as opposed to people who have been permanently crippled by the collapse. Now, Marco Rubio says he understands why residents in another version of the same building, a twin, they're concerned. They should be. The mayor is still refusing to force an evacuation. And there was that study that was done of the water tables, and said there are a whole bunch of buildings in that area that are in trouble. Now, there's a story coming out of Domegood. The developers of this 12-story condo tower that collapsed were previously accused of paying off officials to get their building permits. And Miami is now urging structural inspections of taller condo towers within the next 45 days. And, you know, the country is just crumbling all around us under the governmental mismanagement. Another little crumble that we have there is at the Tour de France. They had a little bit of a record-setting crash there. There was a female spectator who actually stepped partway into the roadway holding up a huge sign saying go, and one of the bike riders hit it, fell over, and everybody piled up on top of them, and a lot of bikes got destroyed, and those are expensive bikes, and a lot of people got hurt, and police are now trying to track down that woman for the reckless endangerment there. Now, interestingly enough, getting into politics, there is a story that came on from Tethasta talking about how Black and Latino voters are rejecting the radical far-left policies like defund the police. That is proving to be a very, very unpopular agenda for the Democratic Party, and the Democrats being Democrats are now trying to rewrite the history on defund the police and try and spin it as something the Republicans did. You know, the Republicans wanted to defund the police here, and they didn't pass bills that we wanted, and we had nothing to do with it, really. It's just not our fault. And it's like, they really must think the American people are idiots, you know, and don't remember what was really going on. And it's for this reason Americans are losing trust in the government. They're losing trust in the corporate media. In fact, the latest polls are showing only 29% of Americans still trust the corporate media. So here on the independent media, we are winning the war for the minds of America. All righty. Pardon me. Jill Biden is going to represent the United States at the Tokyo Olympics. Joe Biden is going to stay back at the White House, I guess, after his European embarrassment. They want to keep him under control here. But Jill Biden is going to meet with world leaders, and she'll be present for the July 23rd opening ceremonies. And she may also meet with Japanese Prime Minister Suga. Now, here is the problem with that. The term First Lady is not an official title. Jill Biden does not actually have any position within the government. It's a courtesy title only. It's not in the Constitution, and she's really not supposed to be there, but it's another reminder that Joe Biden just really is a few hamburgers short of a Happy Meal. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is out there backpedaling from his comment about not signing the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And he's saying that it was not intended as a veto threat. And he's just hemming and hawing over that whole situation. Meanwhile, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is doubling down on defunding the police, and she's claiming that concerns over increased crime are simply hysteria. You know, all you middle Americans, you're just being hysterical. And to illustrate the point, over in Chicago, a gunman with a fully automatic weapon opened fire in the middle of traffic in broad daylight. It was captured on a dash cam video. Basically, the man was stuck in traffic, captured the shooting on his dash cam video, and the gunman was shooting at another vehicle. So it looks like he had an intended target. They haven't caught the guy yet. Now, Donald Trump just had a really spectacular rally last week. Huge crowd showed up, overflow crowd outside, and he has high hopes for his next rally, which is going to be this coming Saturday at the Lorain County Fairgrounds at 7 p.m. And I guess he's probably going to get a really huge turnout there. There was a Daytona Beach police officer Jason Raynor. He is in the hospital right now in critical condition. He was shot in the head, and they finally arrested the shooter. Othel Wallace was apprehended at a black nationalist militia camp, and he was hiding in a treehouse on the Georgia property and taken into custody. Okay. Now, getting on to election fraud, the first thing is we had reports last week that the Arizona Maricopa County audit would have a preliminary report the first part of this week. That has now been denied. Somebody started a rumor, and the people at the audit are saying no, they've completed all the counting, but it's going to take a while to finish the report. So we're all waiting with bated breath. Meanwhile, there are more and more concerns being raised about the Dominion Voting Systems. This is a Canadian company headquartered in Denver. It's one of the three companies primarily used in U.S. elections. The others are Election Systems and Software and Hart InterCivic. And officials have been raising concerns about the security of all these voting systems for years. And we need to get those computers out of the process, because that's where a lot of cheating takes place. Down in Texas, their Attorney General Ken Paxton said that his office still has more than 500 election fraud cases that need to be heard in court. That is a huge, huge number to indicate the severity of the process. So, meanwhile, the Democrats have pulled Al Gore out of cold storage, and he is now joining the voices attacking the Arizona audit and saying it's a waste of time, it's a plot by Trump, and clearly the Democrats are very much afraid. Meanwhile, in Arizona, lawmakers have stripped powers from their Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, over her, shall we say, lack of action in dealing with the obvious signs of election fraud. And don't forget, this is not just a Democratic problem, because Republican leaders like Pence, Romney, McConnell, McCarthy, Cheney, and McDaniel were nowhere to be seen during this entire Arizona audit process. They don't want to be anywhere near that. And they're supposed to be Republicans. MSNBC is continuing their meltdown over the election audit, claiming it's trying to destroy democracy's legitimacy. This was MSNBC's Chris Hay described the audit as ridiculous and dangerous. He attacked Pennsylvania GOP State Senator Douglas Mastriano for visiting the audit. And he says it's a mass delusion. So the corporate media is definitely on the warpath against the audits. And the reason is obvious. They were part and parcel to the stealing of the 2020 election. Now, this started to break last week, but we're going to mention it again. There was an FBI informant, Sigurdur Siggi Ingi Thordason, and he admitted to an Icelandic publication that he totally made up the claim that Assange asked him to hack a government computer. Now, that was a key piece of testimony in the indictment against Assange, because what Assange was doing in terms of blowing the whistle on the government is protected speech under the First Amendment, and they wanted to get him on the hacking charge. And now the FBI informant who provided that information has gone public saying it was complete fantasy, it was completely made up. So the U.S. government's case against Assange has just fallen apart, but we are not seeing any movement to perhaps remove the indictment and allow Assange to go free. And it's an ugly situation. Meanwhile, Sidney Powell has gone public with a formula for how the 2020 election can be overturned, because state legislators have the power to recall the electors for fraud. So it doesn't need to go to the Supreme Court, which is suspect. If the Maricopa County audit proves that the election was stolen, Arizona's legislature can recall the Arizona electors, and their counts at the Electoral College would no longer matter. And, of course, there's going to be a hue and cry for more audits in other states as well. And, in one regard, MSNBC is right. This is going to destroy the integrity of our democracy. But then if the elections are being stolen, the integrity of our democracy has already been destroyed. We just need to let the people know that's what's going on. And as I keep telling the callers who call in to bash Donald Trump, this issue is not about Donald Trump, and it's not about Joe Biden. It is about whether we, the people, still have some modicum of control over the government. Because if the politicians are no longer afraid of being voted out of office by an angry populace, then they can raise taxes all they want. They can start wars whenever they want, and they can grab your children to go be killed and crippled in those wars. Getting saying that these mandates by government are effectively really, really sick. We seem to be having a problem with RBN. Okay. And can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Oh, the volume dropped. I didn't touch it. Okay, we're good now. Wonderful infrastructure we have here in this country. All righty, getting on back to COVID. There is an epidemiologist who is out there saying that we, the world, have only 1 month left to fully vaccinate, or else the Delta variant will go full-blown in the U.S. They're trying to basically get more people to get that vaccine, and the vaccine compliance is definitely dropping off as more and more reports of adverse reactions continue to hit the news. Experts are now warning against 4 new emerging variants. That's your daily dose of booga booga to keep you afraid, to keep you buying masks and vaccines and social distancing. Now, Ron Johnson is planning on highlighting the adverse reactions to COVID vaccines. And Washington's governor, Tony Evers, blasted the senior senator, saying it's reckless and irresponsible, that it's going to slow the economic recovery of the state if people are paying attention to the adverse effects of the vaccines. Now, the CDC is now admitting that 6,113 people have died following the COVID-19 vaccinations, including 576 miscarriages of pregnant women. And the numbers may even be higher. The CDC has been caught lying to us so many times, I'm not sure I even trust that. It may be a limited hangout. Okay. Let's see. Over at the BBC, broadcaster Andrew Marr has revealed he had to take time off work after being struck with a nasty bout of COVID-19 after getting the vaccination. And over in Luxembourg, their Prime Minister Xavier Bettel has tested positive for the coronavirus. He's in self-isolation. He, too, had all of the vaccinations back in May. We're in Iran. The virus has killed 77 and infected 23 members of their parliament. That's going to make you scratch your head and go, how did they get so exposed to it? Down in Australia, they were touting their coronavirus success. Well, they're having to eat a little bit of crow on that. Australia was hailed for its closed borders zero virus policy. But now the major cities are in lockdown as the Delta variant spreads through the population, and there's only been 5% vaccination rate, mostly because Australia just didn't buy enough vaccines. Meanwhile, the Australian media is going totally wacko over people taking selfies at Bondi Beach, because you're not supposed to be going down there during the new lockdowns. So those Aussies, they're very independently minded. Over in England, they've released a report saying that 62% of alleged COVID deaths are among people who have been vaccinated. And that is a serious... Again, we're back in 1976 swine flu territory, where the vaccine is killing more people than COVID is. All right. Over at the Make-A-Wish Foundation, they have announced a policy of refusing to grant unvaccinated children any requests involving flights or large groups, even though COVID shots are only available to kids over 12, and these kids are dying anyway in most cases. So it's a little over the top, I think, here. Meanwhile, Fauci is being denounced as a liar. New reports reveal that Fauci initially resisted a Trump-era order to cancel a research grant from the National Institutes of Health to the Wuhan Institute. We'll pick up on this after the commercials.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
Welcome back to our show here. And again, a friendly reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network depends on your continuing support so that we can go on out there and, fight for the truth in this matrix of lies in which we are all living now. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, don't forget, if you mail in a donation of $100, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt, such as I am wearing right here. And so include a t-shirt size and a return address. If you send in a donation of $115, that's 115, you will get both. And don't forget the front sight firearms deal. That is a really good deal for Second Amendment supporters. Getting on back to COVID, getting on back to Fauci, new reports reveal that Fauci resisted a Trump-era order to cancel a controversial research grant from the National Institutes of Health to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This happened in April 2020. And, there was some caution there. Now, Fauci, who leads the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, resisted the White House directive to cancel the grant. And, you know, because a lot of people had started to look at the Wuhan lab as the origin of COVID-19. And he later agreed to the cancellation, as revealed in an upcoming book by the Washington Post reporters Yasmin Abutaleb and Damian Paletta. Now, Fauci lied to Congress by saying he didn't know why Trump canceled the grant when he knew it was due to fears the Wuhan lab was the source of COVID-19. So, liar, liar, pants on fire. All righty. The World Health Organization has admitted that the COVID-19 PCR test is flawed and estimates of positive cases are meaningless. Not only that, they're acknowledging the lockdown has no scientific basis. And that's interesting because I just saw a headline where the World Health Organization is saying even if you're vaccinated, go back to wearing your face masks, that it's all about power. They're power tripping, I think, is what's going on here. They've been flip-flopping on this stuff all along. I think they make up these health directives using a dartboard. And story coming on out of ADN.com saying that the test kits for detecting the nation's earliest cases of COVID-19 failed because of likely contamination at the CDC. And they're saying that the CDC scientists did not thoroughly check the kits despite anomalies during the manufacturing. And somebody actually got a video showing contamination at the test results lab. Another reason why the numbers coming out of these tests, you know, really didn't work. A reporter from the BBC got a job as a lab technician and using a hidden camera, filmed staff cutting corners and processing samples in a way that could allow contamination. And that means a lot of people who've taken a test via the National Health Service Test and Trace may have received no result or a wrong result. Okay. Yes, I just saw this come through on my watch here. The World Health Organization has gone back to recommending masks and social distancing for everyone vaccinated and unvaccinated due to the Delta variant. And I'm sorry, I've had it with the masks here. Meanwhile, in London, there was a demonstration with literally hundreds of thousands of people, estimated half a million, to basically protest the lockdowns and the masks. They've really, really had enough. Now, last week, we had the story of UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock being caught on a closed-circuit TV, basically hugging and kissing one of his aides, not his wife, and he has now resigned from his position. And I guess his marriage is now in trouble as well. It should be. Okay. All righty. Story coming on out of Station Gossip. A fifth of young Americans aged between 20 and 24, that's about 3.8 million Americans, are neither working nor studying because of the COVID-related job losses and campus shutdowns. So all of this nonsense about lockdowns and masks. And remember, all of this was done in response to this fear-mongering of major epidemic deaths, which turned out to be a computer error. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Working two jobs, ends never seem to me. She often goes hungry, so her babies can't eat. Fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him's the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to help her.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19 and what a crimp it has put on our lives, even now when we're supposed to be winding down out of this. Serena Williams is a top tennis player, and she has just dropped out of the Tokyo Olympics. And she says the reason she did is that she did not want to be separated from her 3-year-old daughter, Olympia, in order to be in compliance with the Olympics COVID bubble. So family first. Anyway, plus she probably didn't want to have to go up against a transgender tennis player as well. Meanwhile, over at the TSA, they are starting to resume self-defense classes for flight attendants and pilots to help them deal with violent passengers after they were canceled by COVID-19. And there have been a lot of recent incidents of passengers just getting out of control, and I don't know what's going on with that. All right. The CDC and the FDA are preparing mass distribution of a Merck Sanofi 6-in-1 vaccine for kids, even though these vaccines have been associated with reports of sudden infant death. And Since the 1980s, the number of childhood shots on the CDC's vaccine schedule has more than quadrupled, and CDC owns the patents on a great many of those. So I think they may have a profit motive involved there. In non-COVID medical news, Pfizer has halted the distribution of an anti-smoking drug called Chantix. You've probably seen the ads for it on TV. They've been all over the place. And they are canceling it because they have found high levels of nitrosamines in the pills. And nitrosamines are carcinogenic. How wonderful modern medicine has become. So the Food and Drug Administration last year found high levels in some versions of the popular diabetes drug metformin. And Chantix was approved in May of 2006 as a prescription medication, which, along with support, helps adults age 18 and over quit smoking and is used for 12 to 24 weeks, at which point you may be coming down with cancer. In the international news, Biden has just escalated tensions with both Syria and Iraq. He ordered an attack on what are supposed to be weapons storage facilities used by Iran-backed militia groups. And so once again, we are bombing the other side of the world in the name of self-defense. The Iraqi resistance factions have vowed revenge after the airstrikes on the Iraq-Syria border. And according to Sabarin News, four Iraqi fighters were killed in the attack on the headquarters of the 14th Brigade of Popular Mobilization Forces. Meanwhile, somebody in Syria, has already fired rockets at the U.S. military base in eastern Syria the day after the airstrikes on the militia. And somebody got this bombardment on video. It's all over social media. So, yeah, Biden has kicked over a hornet's nest, and maybe he did that to get a good, juicy war going ahead of the release of the Maricopa audit report, except that now we know that that was just an unfounded rumor. Meanwhile, the Taliban rolls on ahead of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, and they're making gains all across the country, and it's their country. They want it back. Afghanistan is the graveyard of empires, and it may well prove to be the graveyard of ours. Remember, it was the loss in Afghanistan that started the Soviet Union's decline toward its collapse, because the myth of the unbeatable Soviet military was destroyed in Afghanistan. And the myth of the unbeatable U.S. military, well, actually, that died in Vietnam. But it's not going to help when the U.S. gets out of Syria. They're trying to make it look like it's their idea and it's a good thing, but no, they're retreating. Meanwhile, article out of Mint Press News reminding us all how the CIA turned Afghanistan into a failed narco state. Now, the poppies are blooming like crazy, but they weren't always that way. When the Taliban was in charge of Afghanistan, they had a strict drug policy. If you were caught with an opium poppy, they'd take your hand off. A little draconian, but it worked. There was no opium growing inside Afghanistan. And since the U.S. Incursion, the poppies are blooming, the bumper crops are coming on in, and the opium is flowing around the world, including to the United States, fueling the opioid epidemic in the pharmaceutical companies, as well as the illegal street trade. Thursday, the Washington Free Beacon published a story claiming that the Biden administration was going to walk back Trump's recognition of the Golan Heights as Israeli territory. This set off a huge reaction, and the White House is now backing off to that, saying it's fake news, and no, the Golan Heights belongs to Israel, mahi dictum est. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping have officially announced the extension of the Chinese-Russian Friendship Cooperation Deal. This is an extension of the 2001 Sino-Russian Treaty. And so that is moving closer, and they're moving closer, which means if we go to war with one, we're probably going to be at war with both of them. Now, last week we reported how Poland had passed a law limiting the ability of individuals to claim property in Poland going back to World War II. And needless to say, when money is involved, Israel gets upset. So Israel's foreign ministry has summoned Polish Ambassador Marek Magierkowski to express concerns over this law out of fear that it would block compensation claims for World War II atrocities. And, of course, Poland's position is, first of all, we weren't part of it. We were victims of the Nazis, too. And so, you can't guilt us on this one. And once again, Israeli forces have demolished the homes and tents of the Palestinian Bedouin village of Al-Araqib. This is the 189th time that they have done this. So, anyway. Now, I used to have a lot of respect for Scientific American, but they have managed to destroy that in one move because Scientific American deleted an op-ed detailing Israeli crimes against Palestine and calling for solidarity with the Palestinians. And Scientific American reportedly caved to pressure from the Zionist lobby. And the magazine published this article earlier this month, written by a group of physicians and medical students reporting details of the recent Israeli aggression against Gaza and promising support for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And so Scientific American, sorry, cancel my subscription. People are still talking about how the U.S. shut down the websites of Iranian-linked media. Now, PressTV.ir is still online. I checked just before we went to airtime. But a story coming out of Russia Today is saying, you know, the United States is clearly aiming for a situation in which you only watch the news approved by the United States government, which sounds a lot like dictatorship to me. Okay. Speaking of Iran, they are really fighting a major fight against the trafficking of illicit drugs. They're not getting a lot of support from the rest of the world. But even with all the sanctions and everything that Iran has been hit with, they are still spending $350 million every year to fight the illicit drug trade within their country. So I wish them a lot of luck. Now, this next story, this has got the hairs up on the back of my neck. India has redirected at least 50,000 additional troops to its border with China in a historic shift toward an offensive military posture against China. And although the two countries had a little skirmish in the Himalayas in 1962, India's strategic focus has primarily been Pakistan, with the longtime rivals fighting three wars over the region of Kashmir. So now they're shifting their attention up to China. Russia is calling for a reform of the United Nations Security Council, saying that the West has excessive representation and the Security Council should include more nations. And the Security Council is currently made up of 15 countries, including five permanent members: China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. There are no permanent representatives from Africa, Southern Asia, or South America. The other 10 places are taken up by nations on a rotating basis, with three members invited to join from Africa, two from the Asia-Pacific region, one from Eastern Europe, two from Latin America and the Caribbean, and two from Western Europe. And according to Sergey Lavrov, this arrangement favors the Western nations, and he thinks it ought to be changed. Meanwhile, Russia has successfully tested a new intercontinental ballistic missile. This was developed by the Moscow Institute of Thermal Technology, which is part of Roscosmos, and it was successfully launched from the Russian Defense Ministry's first state testing spaceport. And so far, no official comment yet, but it is reported it was successful. Meanwhile, the United States is spending even more of your money to build a replacement for the aging Minuteman ICBMs. And they're going to test the first of those replacement missiles in 2023. And so they're going to have 400 missiles ultimately. It's going to cost $60 billion. All these proliferating nukes are going to do is make the rubble bounce. All right, getting on to the economic news. Jen Psaki has been caught in another bit of a lie. And earlier today, Psaki tried to dispel the widespread public perception that it is Joe Biden's fault gas prices are going through the roof. And Representative Jim Jordan accurately pointed out that the gas prices have risen under Joe Biden. Psaki was trying to claim gas prices had gone down under Joe Biden. Patent falsehood, easy to check. And they're not only lying, they're sloppy liars. It's like they don't even care anymore. Meanwhile, inflation is raising its head. U.S. food banks are warning that soaring prices will affect distributions. Electricity prices are absolutely exploding, and not just down in Texas. They're having problems out there in California, as I understand it. Meanwhile, American households added $13.5 trillion in wealth during the COVID pandemic. 70% of that went to the top 20% of the population. Keith Neumeyer is out there saying that we may be looking at a currency collapse because of all the overprinting going on. He's saying gold could actually hit $3,000. And Harry Dent is out there saying the greatest bubble in history is about to burst. All righty. Now, there's a big stink going on out in San Francisco where they just had the largest tax increase in San Francisco history. And now critics are saying, how is this going to be spent? Because San Francisco is now funding $60,000 tents for the homeless. In fact, as I understand it, the tents are now costing more than the low-end rents to more permanent habitation. Economist Stephen Moore is warning that Democrats are planning on adding $22 trillion in debt over the next decade. This will nearly double the national debt, which can never, ever be repaid. But you and your children and their children and their children and their children will be slaves to those interest payments, making the private central bank rich beyond dreams of Midas. Over in the Bank of England, they're still talking about digital cash and how it could give the government control over what you buy. They're actually proposing that digital cash be programmed to make sure it is only spent on essentials. No more luxury items. And, that is really very intrusive of the government to say, well, you can buy this, but you can't buy that. Meanwhile, Jaguar Land Rover has paused production of its Defender 4x4 because of the shortage of chips around the world. Getting into the immigration news, there has been an increase of 542% in convicted sex offenders being arrested at the border. And in all of 2020, agents apprehended 156 criminal sex offenders and 58 in 2019. So far this year, 353 have been arrested. And, they're going to be after your kids. They're definitely going to be after your kids. Meanwhile, up in Oregon, they're going the wrong way there. And I've said, if we want to solve the illegal immigration problem, we just have to make their life here more uncomfortable than life in their home countries, and they'll turn around and go back home. But up in Oregon, the Democrats passed House Bill 3352, which is going to give illegal immigrants Medicaid. And the radical left governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, will sign the bill. And she said, everyone deserves access to health care. It's the right thing to do, the just thing to do, and it's smart economic policy. No, it is not. Okay. We got to take another break for commercials. We should be hearing music. There it is, and we'll be back with more news.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about immigration, and Stephen Miller, as quoted in stationgossip.com, is saying that Kamala Harris's real objective is to destroy the border eliminate border security and facilitate the mass entry of more illegal aliens into the country in order to turn them into Democratic voters, I presume. And that her trip to the border was purely for show to try and fool the American people into thinking something is being done about this problem. But we all know, no, nothing is being done about the problem at all. The Democrats are wholly on board with this, bring in the illegal immigrants, give them a bunch of free stuff, turn them into Democratic voters, and the Democrats will have a lock on power for the foreseeable future. Now, Joe Biden has announced a series of executive actions backing gun control, and he's made these comments about how the Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. No, it doesn't, actually. It talks about the a militia being necessary to the security of a free state, but the militia, their age restrictions weren't created until long, long after the Bill of Rights. And Biden made a confusing reference to Thomas Jefferson's Tree of Liberty quote. And he's out there saying, you know, all that stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. You know, if you think you need weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. You know, I recall, this being the week before Independence Day, how King George III didn't imagine that a bunch of colonials armed with muskets would be able to defeat the military might of the British Empire. And yet that's exactly what happened. All right, let's see. Getting into wokeness, and here we are. Getting into wokeness, novelist Joyce Carol Oates is slamming Brandeis University for banning phrases like picnic and you guys for being oppressive, and even outlawing the term trigger warning because of its associations with guns. I mean, that is really going over the top. Now, Pitzer College is eliminating entrance exams in the name of equity. So anybody who wants to, even if they can't read or write, will be able to apply, and there'll be no testing whatsoever, you know, because we have to get the dummies a chance to be equal with the smarties and the good students. This one really shows you how crazy this has gone. Speakers at Towson University's anti-racist pedagogy symposium have declared that using correct grammar is racist. And, you know, this reminds me some years ago when they were pushing Ebonics, which was an English for the black population. It really didn't take off. Yeah, they're out there saying correct grammar is racist. All right, we're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.